Over at bangthebook.com, we got you covered for all four of those sports betting markets, including Parker Michaels' daily NHL picks. 2-0 last night, getting back on track there for him. Definite must read every day over at the website. My College Football Power Ratings updated for the round of conference championship games. We'll have a bunch of NFL stuff as we go throughout the week. Big week in college basketball, the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Bunch of really good non-conference games. We'll cover those over at the website as well. To go along with UFC, I think, returns this week. We'll have a preview for that. Whole bunch of stuff going on. Make sure you head on over to the website and check it all out. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. Couple guests on the program here today, and we start with Brian Blessing, the host of Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline. Brian, how's it going today, man?
I'm good, bud. And you're talking about all the goodies. I think the last few weeks we were doing a lot of stuff, golf, and we did some NASCAR, and we do a lot of videos. But in the last little bit, with golf having wound down, our focus on the video has been NFL games. I think knock on wood, we've been knocking those out of the park. So check the videos out. We do a Bang the Book.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, no. We had the Bills on Thanksgiving Day, and the Jets of all teams were kind of a team. The one week we thought that was a buzzsaw, the Raiders flying cross country, and then the next week switching to Dalton. The Bengals are looking at this like, boys, if you're going to win a game, this is the game. And again, it's a lot of the stuff we talk about. I think, you know, when we do the podcast, the videos, you gotta see the forest through the trees. Adam, you know, one week to the next, some of these results on a week-to-week basis, be it football or hockey or whatever. I mean, the schedule is so impactful in handicapping. It's not, oh, this team's better than that team. It's like, well, okay, how long did it take them to get there, or what game did they play last week? How physical a game was that? What do they got left in the tank from that? A team could look great one week, but it exacted such a toll on them. They come out and get boat raced the next.
Yeah, especially here at this time of the year, especially when you talk about the NFL too, because now you've got some real imbalances. You've got some teams that have had bye weeks here, double digit week number, a bye in week 10, bye in week 11, something like that. You've got other teams that had a bye week 4, week 5. You kind of wonder about them and some of the emotional games that they've been playing here recently. We'll talk about one of those teams here on today's segment. But yeah, make sure you head on over to our Bang the Book YouTube page. Check out the videos done by myself as well as the videos done there by Brian. But Brian, you kind of touched on it a little bit here. We always like to take a little bit of a look back, take a look back at the previous week in the NFL. We'll do that here with week 13. What kind of stood out to you from this most recent round of games?
Well, I will tell you, it's one of the most enjoyable Thanksgivings I've ever had. That was terrific, the way the Bills played at Dallas. And, coincided perfectly when the turkey came on the table, too. I mean, I couldn't have timed it out any better. But, seriously, I mean, that was – and again, you know, bud, I'll go back to that to just say the kind of things you should take into account when you're handicapping. And – you know, see, my problem is I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. I mean, I follow the Bills and have an open rooting interest for them. But I'm not going to burn money on them if I think they're going to lose. Maybe I'd focus on a total. So if I'm stepping up to the plate with the Bills, I really like them. And the Thanksgiving Day game, there was such an intangible, and There were a boatload of intangibles for that game. And we won't go over the top about this game, but it is more of an overview. But the Bills last year had the number 2 defense in the league. Trey White, all this. Stephon Gilmore this, Stephon Gilmore that. You know, he's a great cornerback. I got news for you. Trey White is right there. Trey White is, if not, right alongside Gilmore, he's the second best corner in football. And he got scalded. Lattimore won the Rookie of the Year over him. And then last year, he, Poyer, and Hyde, the safeties, they had the number 2 defense in the league. All 3 of those guys were Pro Bowl players. All 3 of them got snubbed. Why? Because they're never on national TV. They're never on Sunday night. They're never on Monday night. This was a game. And, oh, by the way, you happen to have Beasley going back. But this was a game for them, for the football, their colleagues, their peers, to actually see them play. Don't kid yourself. That was a huge motivational thing for them. And, yeah, Dallas is a bit out of sorts. But Buffalo, you know, they played their lungs out. Hey, the game coming up with Baltimore, I'll tell you, there's another little one. You throw it in there, and you get extra time to prepare. But you got John Brown going against the Ravens. And here's the Bills. Can they beat these guys? Well, they get extra rest. Baltimore just played this, you know, tough, tough game with San Francisco. But the motivational thing is Buffalo, if they win this game, they legitimately put pressure on the Patriots later in the day to beat the Chiefs. So if Buffalo wins that game, it actually puts heat on the Patriots. And if the Patriots were to, if the Buffalo wins Sunday and the Patriots lose to the Chiefs, then who'd have thunk this? Buffalo would actually control their own destiny to be the one seed. So there's 4 weeks to go in a season, but you got to look at this and say, they are saying this is the game.
Yeah, that's an angle I look at in the NBA sometimes too, where teams kind of get, you know, one of those spots on the ESPN doubleheader, especially the Western teams like a Sacramento or a Phoenix, somebody like that. You know, they get a chance in that spotlight because they're playing, you know, the Lakers or the Clippers or, you know, Utah or Denver, whoever else. And that's an opportunity for those teams. You know, they're going to show up in those situations. It's definitely something to consider here across all of the major leagues. But you know, you talk about motivation. Let's look at the opposite side of it. Carolina, that's abysmal at home. Yep. That's embarrassing. Jacksonville, embarrassing at home. The Chargers off a bye, down 14-0 to Denver using Drew Lock after the first quarter. Miami outscoring Philadelphia 23-10 in the second half. Real bad look for the Eagles. Man, I don't know if, you know, week to week we're going to see a lot of these teams quit, but Carolina and Jacksonville really stand out. I mean, that's just inexcusable.
Well, the funny thing is those two teams you identified, I spent the better part of last week talking about, you could see it with Jacksonville. Jacksonville has run for the bus. The week before that, they're pushing and shoving after plays. Fournette, who got thrown out of a game last year, running off the bench across the field to get in a fight, come off the bench again. It's like, okay, you know, Marone's getting fired. That's a mess. They're running for the bus. You could see that coming. Then the Carolina one, we threw the cautionary thing out there. The Redskins are nothing. And you got the kid on the road. But they threw the sink at the Saints and had a heartbreaking loss to the Saints, and basically that was all she wrote. Their season was done. How would they react to that? So, sure enough, 14-0 lead, and then they just went to sleep. I'll tell you what, now focus on the Carolina-Atlanta game, and I would say I think one of the best bets of the week is the over in the Carolina-Atlanta game. When teams have packed it in, that lack of intensity, it shows up on defense. Atlanta's die has been cast for a long time. They showed some pride off the bye. But this Carolina secondary, the whole nine yards, you know, they've packed it in. Atlanta's going to score. Carolina can go up and down the field. The Falcons had that great game against Drew Brees. Now they're back to being what they're going to be. But the offensive guys know which way they're going. You know, I think these guys are going to be running like gazelles in the secondary. That may be the best bet of the week, if you ask me. Carolina, Atlanta, over, just because they've half run for the bus.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it was funny. I was looking at my opening line report for college football, and, you know, we've got 5 games out of the 10 that are rematches here from earlier on in the season. The only one where the totals adjusted up is Ohio State and Wisconsin. And, of course, Ohio State scoring points on everybody, Wisconsin playing better on offense. But the rematch in the other 4 games, the total's lower in every one of them. Because for all the reasons you just kind of outlined there, as the games mean more, things tighten up a little
There's
bit.
There's no doubt. And by the way, on the back end of college football, these guys, obviously conference bowl championship games, or they're playing to get a better bowl. So these games in college, you know, mean a lot when, I mean, I know NFL guys are playing for jobs, but it just, it sinks in between your ears. And I would throw this at you. I don't think we were even planning on this, but when Penn State played Ohio State, I mean, I just said, look, man, who had Ohio State played, and everybody loves them, and they're awesome, and indeed they are. But 18 and a half points, like, what was that? And then Penn State comes back with a backup quarterback and makes that game doggone interesting and covers. Well, I'm looking at this game. You're getting the same balloon number with Wisconsin playing Ohio State. I loved Wisconsin laying 3 against Minnesota. Minnesota was this nice story, but they hadn't played a soul. And, you know, this time of year, run stopped the run. Wisconsin just murdered them. But I'm looking at the number, and the number's inflated for one of the reasons is Wisconsin, when they played Ohio State, got drilled 38-7. Now, A, the game was at Ohio State, but the real rub is you can almost throw that game completely out of the mix because Wisconsin, looking ahead to play Ohio State, lost to Illinois 24-23. It was a punch to the gut, a shock to the system. They had an adverse reaction to that loss going in to the Ohio State game. This version on a neutral field, Wisconsin and Ohio State, I mean, and if you go back to that first game, Ohio State was a 14.5-point favorite. Now you're getting this inflated number. I'm telling you, Wisconsin is now the football team they were. They're getting way too many points, and you got the pressure for Ohio State that it's all there on a platter for them. I like Wisconsin catching those kind of points, but it's just a matter of when you're talking about the rematches. Oh, it's just low-hanging fruit. Let's look at the – oh, they killed them, 38-7. They're extenuating reasons why.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, there are stats for everything out there. And I know that you're not an analytics guy. We've kind of talked about that before here on the segments. I'm a little bit more of a stats guy than you are. But there is this psychological element to sports betting that is really, you can't quantify it. You know, you cannot assign a numeric value to it. It's just something that factors into the handicap. And to circle this back to the NFL here, again, like we just mentioned, Carolina and Atlanta playing for nothing. Usually you wind up getting less of a defensive effort, more of an effort from the guys that want to pad their stats, hit bonuses, get contracts, so on and so forth. So in these games where there's nothing on the line, there are no stakes, things don't matter, as long as weather's not, you know, a compromising factor, you got to look for some overs in these types of games for sure.
All right. Here, you want one more goofy one? I mean, again, just go back to that Bills-Ravens game for 1 second. I guarantee it. Nobody in the world is going to be sitting there bringing this up. I just don't happen to have a life. And, you know, but I'm telling you, if you go back last year, the opener of the last season, and I'm telling you, this is a thing in the Bills locker room. And, you know, nobody's going to even talk about this. They lost the opener last year at Baltimore 47-3. And then went on to have the number 2 defense in the league. Well, that was a game that Nathan Peterman started, giving them the short field and then this, and Baltimore stepped on their neck and ran it up. If you think for 10 seconds this defense does not remember Baltimore gleefully stepping on their neck 47-3 at the beginning of last year, these guys got the license plate. No one's ever going to even mention that as part of the handicap for this game. But trust me, in that locker room, these guys are like, we got the license plate. Remember these jerks? But that's not an analytics thing, right? But that's an intangible thing that I can guarantee you in that locker room the Bills are talking about. And teams, all teams, find whatever thing they can latch on to that gives them a bounce in their step.
Yeah, and that's interesting, too. I mean, I kind of liked Buffalo in this spot anyway. But that's an interesting thing that I didn't even think about. It didn't cross my mind at all whatsoever. I kind of like Baltimore for the simple fact, or I kind of like Buffalo, excuse me, for the simple fact that, you know, Baltimore has just been bludgeoning teams. I mean, like you said, they love running it up. Last week, they finally play that close game. I think there's got to be some carryover to that. This late in the season, you know, you play this close defensive struggle. San Francisco, the first team to really give anybody a blueprint on how to slow Lamar Jackson down. I'd like Buffalo to begin with here. I'll be kind of interested to see where this line goes, because Buffalo is a team that, you know, you've obviously heard the naysayers all year long.
Of course.
People saying Buffalo's not as good as their record, this and that, and they're probably not, and I understand that, but Baltimore is as good as their record, as good as all their metrics are. I just think the spot dramatically and clearly favors Buffalo. I'm curious to see where this line goes. It's 6 pretty much market wide right now, but I'm real intrigued to see where the sharp influential money comes in on that game.
Yeah, probably. I think that's 6. 6 is probably the number. But again, like segments of seasons and things you got to take into account. Oh, by the way, Josh Allen, after making, they literally handed the Eagles a win on a plate, fumbling deep in their own end. But Josh Allen has protected the football, and he is improved so much, it's not even funny. But on the little heater they're on now, this is a different team now, and because he was hurt, he pulled a hamstring, and they weren't using him enough to begin with. But Devin Singletary, the Bills can actually run the football now. This kid's a weapon. I mean, and he's now become more the focal point, moved ahead of Gore, and they've got a weapon in the backfield that they've really only been using the last month.
Well, as interesting as this talk about that game and as good it'll be to talk about the next game I want to hit on with you, I do want to circle back to Thursday, December 5th here, much to my chagrin, much to your chagrin, I'm sure, as well. But this is a game we need to talk about a little bit. Dallas and Chicago. Not a short week for either team, both teams playing on the Thanksgiving holiday. So the regular 6 days off, although obviously your schedule, a little bit different, your body clock thrown off some, you're out of your routine playing Thursday and Thursday. But Dallas, 2.5 or 3-point favorite on the road, total in the lower 40s here, down from 43.5 to as low as 42.5. What do you think about this one here, Brian?
Well, I would say this to you that I don't think we're reinventing a wheel here. Who's the better team? Is Dallas in terms of personnel and the whole nine yards. But again, situationally, Dallas, I think virtually no matter what here, unless Philadelphia completely pukes again this week, that whole thing is coming down to the Dallas Eagles game. The Bears at 6-6, albeit a shot over the moon, with the Vikings losing. The Vikings losing basically brought Chicago and the Rams back into the equation. Now, the Rams got to win out, and they face an absolute gauntlet. But the Bears are sitting here. This is their playoff game. They're done if they lose this. The Cowboys, in the back of their minds, know they still have that, the division is coming down to that game with the Eagles. I really think Chicago can circle the wagons here. And the question is, can they shut down Dallas offensively? I think it's a correlated parlay. I think if you like Chicago, it's Chicago in the under. If you like Dallas, it's probably Dallas in the over. I think it's correlated.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, it's been a tough week for Dallas because you get that short week game, you lose to Buffalo, you play again on Thursday. And like I said, there's already some disruption and, a little bit of a uniqueness to that type of situation.
But
and
they're
all
both
week long.
But they're both the same amount of time, right? They both played Thursday. So the NFL schedule makers got this right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the same amount of time. But also, too, for Dallas here, all this talk in between the games about Jason Garrett. And, we've all seen the video clip. We've seen the GIF. We've seen, it doesn't look like the players like Jason Garrett. It almost seems like Jerry Jones kind of on an island with this guy right now as he tries to save the playoff berth for this season and then fires Garrett when all is said and done. But that's a real weird dynamic. I know the Bears have had a lot of problems in their backyard this year, but for Dallas and all this talk about firing Garrett and plenty of reasons, plenty of rationale to do so, I think Chicago's probably just in a better mindset overall here too.
Yeah, they enjoyed their Thanksgiving, right? And in that game against the Lions, albeit the Lions, they were down in that game and fought back. And Trubisky, actually, who takes incredible heat in Chicago, Trubisky actually played pretty well in that game. So clearly they're coming into this game feeling good, where now, it could go one of two ways. Dallas is a mad team, goes in there and steps on their neck, or Dallas – and the weight of expectations they just have on, every time they take the field. But now the coach, looking over his shoulder and Jerry Jones, that nonsense to me, I don't know. you would think this guy's a smart guy, right? He got more money than God. I just don't get. If you go all the way back to the last time and they were a dynasty, you know, what have they ever won since this guy took over football operations? I just sit up there and be on your cameo camera shot 40 times a game. Get some football people in here to run this damn thing. I mean, his ego just gets in the way.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I wish I was in a position to sit here and say I know what I would do. I wish I had that kind of FU money, but at the same time, like you said, I mean, you'll get some football people in there and just sit up in your box and keep printing money. You know, I mean, that's basically what you're able to do there, with your standing and with the Cowboys. But in any event, one other game I want to talk about here, and I think this one's interesting. I think the early week line move, very interesting here too. San Francisco and New Orleans. New Orleans, 2.5-point favorite, total down from 45.5 to 44. Line open 3.5. So it's been San Francisco money here early. I don't think I agree with that move. What about you, Brian?
They played a great game at Baltimore. But you talk about back-to-back. There's the travel, of course. But they put a lot into that Baltimore game. That was a phenomenal football game. And in fact, I would think you'd actually upgrade San Francisco, even in defeat there. You know, playing that game on the road, crummy conditions. They did everything but win the game. It was like it really was who had the ball last. So, you know, San Francisco deserves all the credit in the world. But New Orleans is sitting here going, hey, wait a minute. This is home field advantage throughout the playoffs. This is a highly motivated team. And, you know, and San Fran's got Seattle coming up. New Orleans is sitting there, hit the gas now. And Breeze is fresh too, right? I mean, let's not lose sight of the fact, you know, this is a quarterback. He missed all that time where other guys maybe are, you know, hitting a wall a little bit. Breeze is probably, you know, on this crescendo where he's probably ready to play as good as he could possibly play. What is he back now, Adam? The days run together on me. About 5 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, about that.
You know, to me, this is New Orleans saying, look, and I get, listen, man, that's been one of the best stories that's just fallen under the, falling off the table all year long. New Orleans, when Breeze went out, it was like, okay, if they can just go 4-4 till Breeze gets back, they'll be okay because they're in the NFC South. For Bridgewater to have, you know, really just saved their season, and that defense played at a ridiculous level. The one weird one was the effort against Atlanta, but it may not bite them in the butt, right? I mean, if New Orleans says, let's make a push, and I'm like, how many times can you take the punch to the gut and keep coming back? This New Orleans team is as resilient as it gets. At first, you had the Diggs miracle with the Vikings and then the nonsensical non-call on the interference last year. This team, man, they're the real McCoy. I think they're mentally strong. They're loaded with talent. And if they win this game, they host the Colts at the Titans, at the Panthers. They're sitting here going, listen, man, let's run this table, and the road is going through us again. It's been great for San Francisco. And I just had this funny feeling, you know, you're going to have an 11-12 win San Francisco team, you know, going to play an 8-win Dallas or Eagles team, which is, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, as far as this game goes, I actually do like New Orleans in this spot. Probably going to wind up on them in the contests here later on in the week. I just think this is such a difficult spot for San Francisco. Now, they're not going all the way home. They are practicing this week in the state of Florida. So, you know, a little bit of sun, maybe a little bit of R&R throughout the week if they can grab some. I think they need it. This is one of those teams that I mentioned in the open here that had a week 4 bye. Now, they've only played 4 road games in that span. One of them, of course, last week against Baltimore. But I just have to think that with a team getting to these heights for the first time under Kyle Shanahan, the first time, you know, really in a while since Colin Kaepernick took him to the Super Bowl with Harbaugh a few years ago, I think this is a really difficult spot. I just think that this is a lot and a big ask. Taking on New Orleans when you know you've got a free win next week against Atlanta, Then you've got the Rams and the Seahawks, that Rams game on a short week to finish up the regular season here. I think this is a really difficult spot for them. And I think New Orleans playing well in the dome, you know, a very solid home team as they've always been in the Breeze era. I disagree with this line move. I get the respect for San Francisco. I agree with upgrading them off of that Baltimore performance. I just don't know if they've got enough in the gas tank this week, but they can circle the wagons next week and get an easy win, you know, blowing out one of Kyle Shanahan's former employers.
That's great information about them not going back home. And to me, that certainly upgrades their chances because it's a bonding thing and your body clock and all those things that go into play. And if memory serves, Adam, can you confirm this? Did they not? Now, clearly, the opposition's a lot different. Let's start with that. But did they not beat Tampa Bay in the opener at Tampa Bay? Did they not go to Ohio and practice for the week before going in and destroying the Bengals in week two? I think they've done this earlier in the season.
You're correct.
Did they go to Dayton, possibly, or Youngstown. Something like this? Youngstown. Okay.
Just as much of a dump, by the way.
Well, but the bottom, you know, being an exotic location or a dump, they're on the road working together and bonding, and it worked for them earlier in the season. But the Bucs to the Bengals is a lot different than the Ravens to the Saints.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree, and I'm sure I'm going to have angry people from Youngstown in my mentions on Twitter, so I apologize for that. But, you know, it is one of those things where, like you said, it is kind of a bonding thing. And again, the idea of being in Florida, you know, maybe does kind of re-energize the batteries a little bit. I've kind of talked about that in the NHL with teams from cold weather cities that get to play in Florida in December and January. And it's like, holy shit, this is great. I see the sun and there are actually plants growing, you know? So, I mean, I get
Maybe college football, look at all these teams late in the year. It happens all the time. You know, go over and play Hawaii. You know, they by a mile be the better team, but all of a sudden you get over there, and yeah, your mind's supposed to be on football, but, you know, you see the beach, you see the sun, you see the palm trees, you see girls in bikinis, and then you go out and you, like, what happened? We scored a field goal.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess we'll see. Like I said, I disagree with the line move. I think 2.5, there's good value on the Saints. We'll see if this one goes back up. But I do want to spend a few minutes talking about hockey here with you, Brian, because it's what we always do. Before we dig into the Tuesday night card here, and it is a pretty extensive one at that, any league-wide observations you want to hit on here?
Just it's another NHL season, Adam. It's teams coming home from long road trips. They're a fade the first game home from a long road trip. Dogs, barking dogs, you know, beat these teams when they come home. Everybody's, oh, they're home. No, they're home, getting, you know, reacclimated to their family and kids. And, you know, the first game home from a long road trip is a tough one. Ceremony games, we're always watching for those where teams, the home team's out there for a ceremony, maybe not ready at the start of games. You play for starters, you play the visiting team in the first period. The dad's trips are about to come up. I know the moms seem to be the order of the day. The Oilers, I think, had their moms. They went 1-1, and later in the week, the Blackhawks, you were telling me, their moms are going to be on a trip with them, and you just look for that. But the one thing I would just say, this schedule is so compacted, it's ridiculous, where teams are playing 3 games in 4 nights. There's a lot of back-to-back nights in play. Just check. Find out the backup goalies, man. When the backup goalies are in there, I don't think the odds makers do anywhere near enough, even putting 20 cents attached to the number, you know, shading the game to the over. To me, it should be an automatic half goal. So look for backup goalies. I mean, hockey's really, history repeats itself. It's just about information.
Yeah, and Parker Michaels, our NHL guy over at bangthebook.com, passed along to me yesterday that the mom's trip is Thursday, Friday for Chicago here in Boston and in New Jersey. Boston, a real tough game. New Jersey, everybody's kind of beating up on them. So if the Blackhawks lose to Boston on Thursday, and odds are good that they probably will, they'll certainly be a big dog in that game. Look for them to bounce back against New Jersey there on Friday. They're not going to lose both with the moms, and they're probably not going to lose to a New Jersey team that just gave up 7 to the Sabres last night. But outside of that here, and again, we try to find these moms and dads trips as much as we can. Hard to find that information more often than not. Anything you do like here for this Tuesday night card?
Well, I think Washington San Jose is a terrific game, the get-out game, and I just think they can't help but score a truckload of goals in that game. That'll be a fun one to watch. It's the late game. Just double-check in. It's Holtby versus Jones. And, you know, Jones' save percentage is at .896. You hope he's got a great save percentage, but the way Washington plays, he's facing all these odd man rushes. I think that's a high-scoring game. The funny thing is, almost the way it worked out, almost gives me pause for concern, because I know he had said yesterday, you know, Vegas is playing the Rangers. So this, again, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. Vegas plays the Rangers last night, play a solid game, and they win, you know, comfortably, 4-1. Devils go and get absolutely emulsified in Buffalo. That notwithstanding, at the end of the Vegas game, Vegas goes back to their hotel. The Devils got to answer questions why they stunk so bad, made the Sabres look like the Central Red Army team, and then hop on a plane and fly home. And all these players probably don't get home till 1:30 in the morning. And Vegas is lying in a hotel bed. Now it's back-to-back nights. Oh, the home team, back-to-back nights, play the home team. Who had the easier night? You know, I mean, so now there's a chance Sparks plays tonight. It'd be his first game in a Golden Knights uniform. And the Devils could be a mad team because they were thoroughly embarrassed. But, you know, it's funny. You know, you see Vegas 40, 50 cents on the road a lot of times, and they're only 30 cents here. The number's telling me that, you know, there's a belief that the Devils' pride's at stake here, and they show up. But they were a dog's breakfast last night. It was ugly. They just were a complete no-show. And honestly, the coach's job may be on the line tonight.
Yeah, it could be. That's an excellent point. Again, something, it's probably about that time to start thinking about stuff like that here in the NHL. I'll throw one at you here. Kind of like Montreal a little bit tonight. I know the Islanders play very, very well. They play a great brand of road hockey. They don't give up a lot of chances. Barry Trotz, one of the best coaches in the NHL. I think this is a difficult spot tonight, though. Back-to-back with travel, off playing Detroit last night. They did hold serve, one as more than a $2 favorite in that game. Now they're a small dog at Montreal. I agree with the line. I think from a, you know, numbers standpoint, some people are just going to say that the Islanders shouldn't be a dog here to Montreal. But tough back-to-back. And also, too, the Islanders played out west last week. So, you know, they've been traveling a little bit here of late. I just think this sets up as a difficult one tonight for the boys from Brooklyn.
Well, you're walking in front of a train here because this Islanders team is really – and they got games in hand on Washington. I mean, they're right there at the top of the list, you know, with Boston, Washington, and the Islanders, the top three teams in the East. The one thing I would say to you, I would say it is a correlated deal, especially if you like Montreal. You know, Carey Price, a great goaltender, but he runs hot and cold now. He's not what he was, but this Montreal team is fast. And they can score, and they can't stop anybody. They're a mess in their own end. I actually like goals in the game. Normally, the Islanders limit chances, but if it's a game where the other team, you believe, because of the situation, would dictate the way the game is played, that would lend it to be a kind of a back-and-forth game. And I like it over six, to be honest with you.
Brian Blessing, host of Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline. Brian, how can people check out those two shows?
Noon to 2 Pacific time, Adam, kshp.com. You can listen to it live. Follow me on Twitter, Brian Blessing. We put the show links out every day, and the shows are archived at sportsbookradio.com, sir. So, you know, lots on the docket here. This stretch run, conference bowl, conference championship games, college football, with what's on the line for the playoffs, and then the bowl season begins. And it's a great time of year, bud. There's a lot on the plate, and we, you know, on Sportsbook Radio, we really call on the other side of the counter and have the top sportsbook directors in Vegas on a daily basis on the show. So we love doing it, and hope you listen.
And of course, make sure you keep an eye out for some videos from Brian Blessing over on our Betting Book YouTube page here as we go throughout the week. Brian Blessing again, Sportsbook Radio, KSHP.com, as well as Vegas Hockey Hotline at Brian Blessing on Twitter. Appreciate your time as Appreciate your time as always, sir. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
I'm trying to pat you on the back from 1,900 miles away.
There you go. There's Brian Blessing again, the host of Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline at Brian Blessing on Twitter.